Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Menace. And Flash is out of the office today, so it's just me flying solo, rocking the mic as we go through these Tarkir spoilers. Today, we are talking about the most, well, maybe not the most, but the cards that are, to me, most interesting for CEDH. So we'll get into that. If I miss anything, please let me know in the comments below. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. We're at 489 subscribers, only 11 more. Get out there, tell your friends, have them subscribe to the show. Only 11 more will hit that 500 mark. Pew, 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 pew. And halfway to monetization. So once this is like a snowball, man. Once it gets going, we're just tumbling downhill, and all of a sudden, we're the most popular podcast in the world for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. Wait. We already are the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms, which our analytics are saying that the city of San Diego, we have some fans down there, our most popular region as of the last 7 days. So you can support us on your favorite podcast platform of choice. Leave us a 5-star review. Make us look super duper cool. And we have an incredible announcement and incredible opportunity. We are representing Wizards of the Coast at MagicCon Las Vegas. We will be in the creator area. The Mock Stars are back. What more can I say? We're back in action. Let's go, baby. You can also support us on Patreon, where you can become official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you can support the show, become an official Pepperhead, have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the $10 tier, the 2-liter tier, like definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. Thank you guys so much for the support. You get 2 free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, which we'll be doing at the end of this episode. You can also support us at the $5 tier, the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, and get 1 free entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. You can also support us. We have a few more tiers. There's a couple, well, and there's only 2 more, a couple more tiers. We also have the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, the access to the lounge, held down by Ravenlift, where you get a free Mock Stars hat every single month. And if you stick around for a full year, you get a 1-of-1 bucket hat. Ravenlift, you are so close. And then there's the Surgeon Master General tier, which is still available. You know, it's there. It's $2,300 a month. $100 per flavor of Dr. Pepper. You know, when you think about it that way, it just makes sense. Sign up. T-shirts come your way. Not hats, but T-shirts. All right. Today, well, a lot has been happening in the world of Magic. It feels like the most drawn-out spoiler season of all time, which, hey, great. I love a steady stream of cardboard crack. Like, don't get me wrong. It's been nice. It's been you know, like to see new cards every single day. And then also one to have them be like sort of, well designed, the set design, the card design, everything like that makes you scratch your head and think, how can I use this? And, you know, whatever format you're playing, like if you're playing in standard, if you're even playing in modern right now, there's the Songcrafter, basically the improved Snapcaster Mage, from the set that is looking to be really exciting. But today we are talking about the cards that I personally believe are going to be the most fun in CEDH from the set. And so let's dive right in. Right off the bat, the first thing I want to talk about is Mox Jasper. It's a Mox. So everyone right away has been hot on it. The pre-orders for this thing are crazy. $88 is what Scryfall is currently like tracking via the market. So $88 for the non-foil, $116 for the foil, and someone might have cracked it already. I don't know if this is CEDH crackable. You know, there have been a couple shows out there talking about, like, what does this do for certain decks like Joyra, which is, you know, wanting donuts to draw cards, and like, but there's no dragons in the deck. There's nothing that's ever going to get you to, like, have the ability to tap for mana, which ultimately is the goal, I would hope. You know, it just makes certain Hullbreaker lines a lot easier. It just, you know, like, that's when Moxes take the step forward. Like, Mox Amber didn't really see its rise until Rograkh arrived on the scene. Like, when it was originally printed in Dominaria, it was cheap. It was like $10. We didn't have all the legends that we have, like, in the game now, which is my point that I'm going to make with Mox Jasper, is the hype is insane. It's insane right now. This card, as it currently stands in CDH, yes, we can shoehorn it in and make it work for certain decks that want, you know, donuts like flubs or whatever. But right now, it's not good. It's just not a good card. It might be good in other formats. Right now, it's just not good. You really have to force it in to make it work, or play a certain commander for it to work. And those commanders and those strategies right now are pretty off meta. So the one reassurance that I will give you is that it will eventually work. So when you see this card, and it, you know, like, let's say right off the bat, you know, obviously the hype is super high, it starts to drop off. I wish it would get down to where Mox Amber was at release. I'm telling you, it was like $10 or less. But you know, if it ever gets down to that point, that's when you know to buy in. You know, it's like, we will eventually get a dragon at a low, 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 low cost. Like, Changeling Outcast, sure, right? It's a one-drop dragon. That'll get you where you want to be with this. But, like, all I'm saying is that there will be a deck, there will be a strategy, and there will be room for this at some point. The game is constantly growing. There's 274 cards, roughly, injected into the game every 2 to 3 months. So, patience with this one. But it seems people have already all but foregone patience and are buying now at $88. That's insane to me. $88 for this thing that is a do-nothing card in pretty much any format right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. Get in the comments. Let me know if I'm wrong. Like, if you've cracked this, or you know someone who has cracked it, or a deck list, drop it in the comments below, because right now there's nothing that I see that, outside of, you know, it having a Dan Frazier artwork, it having a pretty cool dragon skill border, and that's it. You know, some really very, very detailed hands in the Steven Belladin artwork. So, yeah. Mox Jasper, be patient. It will have its day in the sun. Next point, actually, before we go into the next card, Tarkir Dragonstorm. The set with 1,000 treatments and 1,000 borders and 1,000,000 different cards with 1,000,000 different printings. Some of these borders, man, like, they finally found a way to do borderless sagas. Sweet. Awesome. They look great. I think they look really cool. But I will say, the sagas that were like tapestries, those told a story. Those were awesome. And those made a lot of sense. I really like those. You know, but there are all these, like, I don't know the name of the style, but I'm looking at it right here. The card I'm using as an example on YouTube is Felothar, Dawn of the Abzan, but it's like the black text box, and then it's like, I don't know, it has like the colors in the background of the, you know, like Abzan, so like green to white to black. And anyway, if you know verbally, if you're listening on a podcast, if you know verbally what I'm talking about, has the black box, it's like a paintbrush stroke background. Those are also a treatment you can get for pretty much any of these legends or anything rare. I don't know. And then they're also doing something with dragons. So they have, if anything is pretty much related to a dragon in any way, they have this dragon scale border, right? It's sort of like the Kaldheim border, but for Tarkir. And it's got like a lot of intricate little details, kind of cartoony in a way. And some of them look cool. Some of them look really good. But they also are doing this treatment with dragons like Clarion Conqueror, that it's an adult dragon on the front, borderless. And then it's got the baby version of the dragon on the back. So it's the same card front and back on the same thing. There is potential that in your packs you will pull a adult on the front, baby on back, Clarion Conqueror. And but we have, not on top of that, we also have the standard Clarion Conqueror artwork, and then we also have this additional Ugin style border, where like a lot of these dragons are getting that. Sarkhan got it, and it's like a blue border that I'm sure looks great in foil. And then it also gets a halo foil version of it as well. So gosh, it's like, it's not nearly as bad as Elish Norn, Mother of Machines. She had 21 variants in the set that was released, whatever, All Will Be One. This has, counting foil, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for Clarion Conqueror. Yeah, or no, it'll be 7 in total. 7 for Clarion Conqueror. Just a everyday rare. So this is, the set, all of the things. Get ready to, if you are one of those players, like I am, that sees the artwork first and then reads the effect next, like, I sometimes identify cards just by glancing at the artwork. Like, I see it and I go, yep, I know what that does. Don't even need to read it. I know what that does. It just keeps getting more and more confusing. So stay on board. Stay on board. You just stick with it. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. All right. We talked about Mox Jasper. Next, the most interesting Urza's Saga target from the set, I think. Mox Jasper comes in second to this. Dragonfire Blade, a 1-mana artifact equipment. It is equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has hexproof from monocolored. It has equipped 4. This ability costs 1 less to activate for each color of the creature it targets. So in decks like that I play, Shalayan Hallar is great. 3 colors. It's a 1-mana activation to equip. There are a lot of decks that really want this because, you know, like while Commander's Plate's awesome, in CDH, most removal outside of Abrupt Decay is monocolored. There's just not enough efficient or good enough multicolor removal where like Swords to Plowshares, Path to Exile, and like bounce effects are all monocolored, and those are the most efficient ways to get things off the board in a lot of ways. So this also gets through like channel effects. Like, this protects from channel effects. All those. Oh no, wait. It does not protect from land channel effects, but it does protect from, Touch the Spirit Realm. So, like, there are certain things that it covers that are relevant in CDH. So, I think that this, the more colors your commander is, like your commander R is, grammar, English language, tough, this gets better. So, Urza's Saga is great, and you know, obviously it allows you to go get a soul ring, allows you to ramp if the game goes that long, you know, third turn, awesome, let's go. But I do think that this is a really interesting new equipment at one, where like Shadow Spear was probably the best target before for equipment, this now becomes, or maybe even Commander Plate, but this becomes relevant now as well. So we'll see how this goes. I think it's really exciting. I think it's worth a slot if you're looking for protections for your commander and you want a secondary way to go search it out. It also has a really, really cool dragon scale artwork. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. I like it. There aren't really a lot of things like this. So go out, go get it while it's cheap. The next card, we talked about this a little bit on a previous episode, but these are all the cards that are going to be relevant towards in CDH that we think will be relevant in CDH. So Voice of Victory, one and a white. This is the Grand Abolisher from the set. Your opponents can't cast spells during your turn. It is a human bard as a 1/3 that has mobilized 2. Whenever this creature attacks, create 2 tapped and attacking 1/1 red warrior creature tokens. Sacrifice them at the beginning of the next end step. So ideally, well, pretty much in theory, right? It's a 1/3 that when it attacks, spawns 2 more power and toughness. So it's a 3. Basically, it does 3 power, 3 toughness for this little dude. Anyway, the most important part is obviously it can't cast spells. This is going to give a lot of decks new life. So like Najeela will come back. This is super great for that. Spawning tokens. I think this also does other things that are going to give other cards life where, you know, I do think Caretaker's Talent has room now, not just because of this card, but because of the effects, a few other effects, like the next card we're going to be talking about, like a few other effects that have been printed will give justified cause to run something like Caretaker's Talent in a CDH deck that is focused around enchantments or tokens or, yeah, really think anything like that. I could see it even getting play in Najeela since an attack is card draw. If you're not able to get there, at least you get more information, you get more cards, and it actually increases your warrior count, you know, just by using its second ability. Going to level 2 gives you an additional token that on the following turn will allow you to keep populating the battlefield with even more warriors. So I think it's a really cool little tech piece. But Voice of Victory also leans into that just by attacking, create 2 tokens. Caretaker's Talent will see that. You will draw a card, and then you can, you know, like, you can copy, use the Caretaker Talent ability to go to level 2, copy one of these in a dire circumstance, and then it will not get sacrificed at the end step. So, yeah, there's nuance to it, but I do think that, you know, like the prevalence of certain effects in Tarkir Dragonstorm will lend to cards that are maybe currently standard all-stars will give them life here in CDH. So Voice of Victory, very, very interesting. Again, it's really hard to stop things like Channel, Beseju, Odawara. And this, I think that's like, this does not do that. It doesn't stop those things, but it does, you know, keep players from interacting on the stack, basically, on your turn, which is a growing problem in CDH as we extend further into the mid-range hell. So, the next card. Y'all know that I was hot on Teyum. I'm always hot on Teyum. It is what I believe to be one of the decks with the highest ceiling. If you are willing to dive in, make mistakes, and learn the lines. But we just got a card that breaks it wide open. Welcome to the show, Warden of the Grove. If you didn't know where you're at, by the way, you're at the Mockstars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. And the Warden of the Grove is here to make a splash in CDH. It is 2 and a green. For a 2/2 Hydra, at the beginning of your end step, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. Woo! That's great. Whenever another non-token creature you control enters, it endures X, where X is the number of counters on this creature. What? What is endure, you ask? So this also makes sense for Caretaker's Talent in some ways. endure is you, whenever a creature endures, you put X plus one counters on the creature that entered, or create an XX white spirit creature token. So does a lot. This is really great. This sort of cracks Teyam like wide open, because if you, it allows you to play in your end step, right? So at the beginning of your end step, put a plus one counter on this creature. As long as Teyam is on the battlefield, you get a vigilance counter on this. Notice that it says the creature endures X, where X is the number of counters on this creature. So the vigilance counter is going to be seen. The creature that is entering, as it endures, you can choose to put plus one counters on it. So end step, plus one counter on this creature. Allow that ability to resolve. Still in the end step, activate Teyam. Take counters off of other things. Bring creature from graveyard back to the battlefield. Put X plus one counters on the creature that entered. It sees the vigilance. It sees the plus one. Teyam will give that creature that enters a vigilance counter. This will give it two plus one counters, three counters immediately. And then, the problem of creating counters is solved. That has always been kind of like the Achilles heel for Teyam, has been like generating the mana and then also having the counters to remove in order to activate. It's a buildup, and a lot of your cards have to just be very generically good. That's a tough thing with deck building in CDH, is that cards have to have multiple purpose or have to be multi-purpose or have flexibility, utility. And I think Warden of the Grove allows Teyam to play into cards that are a little bit more utilitarian, not so much like counter focused, where if you search this, if you seek this out, get it onto the battlefield, then everything is going to enter with three counters basically automatically. I think this is awesome. It's basically an additional Bowmasters in Teyam lists, because Bowmasters, a very similar situation, right? If you're able to sacrifice the Bowmaster and keep returning it to the field, you deal a damage. It enters with a vigilance counter. You amass orcs one. Amass orcs. This is a 0/0, gets a plus one counter and a vigilance counter. So Bowmaster has a vigilance counter, and then the orc has a plus one and a vigilance. So Bowmaster just entering while Teyam is present gives you three counters automatically. Warden of the Grove allows other creatures to basically act as Bowmasters. But also getting a bodies, no joke, right? So you can have something enter with a vigilance counter on it, and then have something else have the token enter as a whatever XX, and also have a vigilance counter. So there's multiple options. Endure is a sort of crazy keyword at the moment. You know, it's like do this or that. So it has utility in that way. It makes things obviously far more complicated when you're when a player is making decisions. You know, the time, everyone should just be putting counters. It should just be counters all the time. But especially since this is basically the only deck that Teyam is going to be the only deck that ever runs a card like this. I can't even see this, even though it's plus one counter focused. I can't even really see this being in Shalai and Halar, because I can't abuse any like rotations, like reanimation cycles or anything like that to continue bolstering the counters or making things, you know, explode out of control. So Warden of the Grove, incredibly exciting for Teyam. I think this is pretty much an auto include from now on moving forward, and should be if you're playing against it. If you're not going for the win that turn and this is on the field, Teyam is going for the win on the following turn. That's what this sort of like represents. That I think that this is like, okay, I'm one activation away, and then I can start the loop. This lets you get closer to the loops. It closes, it creates tighter windows for Teyam. Yeah, kill it on sight. It is a kill on sight card. Teyam is just a kill on sight commander as well. So yeah, excited to see what this does. It also has a pretty cool alternative brushstroke artwork. I hope that's what it's called. If you're on YouTube, you can see the brushstroke artwork. All right. The next card. Very exciting. New Necropotence tech. Keru, Goldkeeper. This is a dragon. One, a black, green, and a blue. For a dragon, 3/3 flyer, whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard during your turn, create a treasure token. It also has an ability called Renew. For two Ensaltai, two black, green, blue, exile this card from your graveyard, put two +1/+1 counters and a flying counter on target creature, activate only as a sorcery. This is very interesting. Whenever a card leaves your graveyard during your turn, create a treasure token. Notably, that's untapped. So there are a few loops right off the bat. I think Kenrith really wants this. I think there are a few five-color builds, reanimation builds, that, or just, you know, like the thing that I was saying with like Necropotence and why this is like a Necropotence card is because if you decide to play this, if this was a legend, it would be the legend from the set for CEDH. But it's not a legend. Because this in the command zone, while having access to Necropotence, would just be insane. Because when you discard at your end step, you could basically rush this thing out, have Necropotence out, and then pick up 25 cards, and then go to the end step, discard them, and then each one that gets sent to the graveyard triggers Necropotence separately, and then it exiles it from your graveyard. So Keru Goldkeeper will see that. It is still your turn. Create treasure tokens. Cast Born Upon a Wind. Win the game, right? Hopefully Born Upon a Wind is in your hand, or it's one of the 25 cards, 30 cards that you picked up. But you get 30, let's say you did 30. You get 30 treasures, or 25, or 23, however many. If you didn't have any cards in your hand, right? Discard down to hand size. It's a crazy amount of mana that it represents, the combination of these two together. Mana, card advantage, insane. Especially with how prevalent Born Upon Wind is in the meta currently. So I really like this creature. It's an uncommon. Now let's shift gears. Change direction a little bit. If you have not heard of or have not dabbled in PEDH, Pauper, or PDH, whatever, it's a competitive format of Commander. It's also fun, but mostly competitive because of the restrictions and limitations that are placed upon it. But in that format, any uncommon can be your commander. Any uncommon creature. Legendary creature. I'm not sure if planeswalkers can. I don't know. I don't know everything about the format, but I do know uncommon non-legendary creatures can be your commander. This could be your commander. And then every common below that. There are some busted commons out there, but like building a deck around this, I think this becomes one of the most exciting and one of the best PDH commanders that we've seen in a while. So we'll see where that goes. Hopefully we can do a little bit more PDH coverage in moving forward. It's incredibly exciting. It's like a while back, we had talked about creating a little bit of a format called Commander Contained, where you could only if you built a commander, like a commander deck, the only cards that you could use were the cards that were printed in the set alongside it, plus a small bank of like staples. So things like Arcane Signet and Soul Ring, whatever. But it was a lot of fun to build. The restrictions make for a very interesting and creative deck building process. And I think that's what PDH offers, is you have the ability to take abilities, like take creatures like this one and build around its unique, I don't know, characteristics with commons as the supporting structure. So yeah, it's a really great format. If you haven't played, get out there, see if there's a community of PDH players in your area, but go play. It's a super interesting format right now. All right, next card. We talked about it a little bit already. It has an adult dragon front and a baby dragon back. We have Clarion Conqueror. This is the stacks piece from the deck, or from the set. Tarkir Dragonstorm, Clarion Conqueror is a two and a white dragon a 3-3 flying that says activated abilities of artifacts, creatures, and planeswalkers can't be activated. Wah, wah, wee, wah. So it's not one-sided. It's universal for everybody. But when this thing comes down, it locks it down. It locks it down, folks. Activated abilities of artifacts, creatures, and planeswalkers can be activated. So there's a lot that this covers. How many decks can play through this? That's like the tough thing. Usually Collector Oof, like what Collector Oof does for the game is that it allows the player who's in green to continue playing via dorks. They're not relying on artifacts or mana or anything. But this shuts down rocks. It shuts down dorks. And it shuts down planeswalkers. So notably, what I really like about this is that you can't play Sisse through this. So like Sisse does need obviously to be able to activate its ability. But there have been times in the past where Sisse will just land a Time Raveler and then bounce whatever it is and go away. But you can't do that anymore. It's awesome. You literally have to use an Into the Flood Maw or something to bounce this Clarion Conqueror or a kill spell to remove it to keep moving forward. I think that it is a problem. If it lands, it's pretty much a problem for everybody because it makes the game rely on land drops. Like, if you're able to make your land drops, you're able to keep pushing forward in that way, Clarion Conqueror is your best friend. But most of the time, that is difficult to do when most deck lists are 28 or less lands. I don't think I've built a CDH deck in the past 3 years that has less than 28 lands. Like, that's tough. If I was to rebuild Zakama, I'd probably go to 30. Because land count matters. And then I don't even want to play this. Because I can't activate creature abilities. So what am I going to do with Zakama? Just untap all my lands a million times? Infinitely? But Clarion Conqueror is very interesting. I think that it will see play. The one gripe that I do not want to hear from anybody is that Stax pieces slow the game down. Stax pieces might limit your decision making, but it does not slow the game down in any way. It actually should speed things up since you know what your options are, since it is clearly defined what you can and cannot do. Cannot activate artifacts, cannot activate creatures, cannot activate planeswalkers. Play your spell, move forward. You know, cast as many spells as you want, doesn't matter. Clarion Conqueror is going to keep you from activating. I think it's one of the it's wide, like the of what it covers. That is a wide spectrum of things. It is the reason that I feel like the way I'm describing it is apprehensive. Like, I'm a little apprehensive to endorse the card because it's like I rely on, like, I'm scared to play dorks around this thing. Like, that's a big part of my strategy. I'm playing dorks all the time. Every deck I build has mana dorks. I don't play anything it's not green pretty much at all. So like I'm scared to put this in a list based on the Nombo factor that it would shut off, you know, like in creature builds. Yeah, it just shuts things down. Like, I really like this in mono white and maybe two color decks including white, but man, it doesn't have flash. If it had flash, I'd kind of be in, you know, like that's one thing where you can sort of like control the window in which it comes down. You see something that's about to happen and boom, like Clarion Conqueror enters the fray, makes things exciting after that, or can stop somebody's turn, you know, like, but players, yeah, you'll have to play this on your turn, or if you can reanimate it in speed, I don't know. It is hard for me to endorse because it does non-bow with a lot of things that I like to do. So, like I said, it is that strong, though. The current pre-order price is about $14. So, yeah, we'll really see where it goes. This Ugin Border, people want $46 for it. You're crazy. But we don't know how rare that stuff is either. So, all right, next card. This is going to be the final card that we talk about today. And then if I missed one, y'all are going to just have to let me know. You're just going to have to let me know. Nature's Rhythm is the final card that we're going to talk about today. For X and 2 green, we have a sorcery that says, search your library for a creature card with mana value X or less, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle. It also has Harmonize. Harmonize is a new ability from Tarkir Dragonstorm that says, you may cast this card from your graveyard for its Harmonize cost. You may tap a creature you control to reduce that cost by an amount of generic mana equal to its power. Then exile this spell. The Harmonize cost for Nature's Rhythm is X and 4 green mana. So, wah, wah, wee, wah. This does a lot, doesn't it? It's basically a finale of Devastation. This is a... without the ability to spend 10 or more on X and turn it into a Craterhoof effect, this is one of the more interesting straight-to-the-battlefield creature tutors that we've seen. Like, I think Invasion of Ikoria was really the last one, and it was hard to... it's still a little hard to justify from time to time. Like, it's not an auto-include, where this feels like an auto-include now. If you are going for creature-based combo strategies, Nature's Rhythm seems like an auto-include. It's just... Invasion of Ikoria couldn't hit humans, and that... it turned out that was actually a pretty big restriction. Like, we all looked at, when Ikoria, the original set, actually came out with Winota, and everyone sort of like looked at Winota like, how important is non-human versus human? And then we found out real quick. And then when Invasion of Ikoria came out, it was like, how important in green is it to search out human versus non-human? Well, it takes away the ability to tutor a Grand Abolisher to the battlefield or a Voice of Victory. You know, like, the first Grand Abolisher effect they print on a non-human will be the replacement for Grand Abolisher, because it'll give access to other things, right? Like, even Miral is a human. Like, there's a restriction, like, on... yeah, it's a very restrictive line of text to say you can only get non-human cards. So there are a lot of combo pieces that are humans as well. But Nature's Rhythm now allows you to navigate the game freely, however you want. The one thing that Invasion of Ikoria had was you could search the graveyard. So it had that Finale Devastation text, where Finale is just the better version, right, of these effects, where if you are using one of these effects and someone casts an opposition agent, Finale Devastation on resolution will allow you just to redirect to the graveyard and fail to find, so that your opponent couldn't take your thing. Nature's Rhythm doesn't allow for that. So you are going to be searching your library. This is definitely a great oppo agent target. Like, if someone casts one of these and you're holding on to an oppo, drop it, baby. They cannot dodge it without killing your opposition agent. So search your library for a creature card, no restriction, with mana value X or less, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle. So there's also strategy in sort of, you don't have to declare your target, you don't have to tell people what you're doing. You can actually say, hey, X is 6, and I'm going to go get a 3 drop. Like, hey, you got that? You got that kind of shmoney, that kind of shmana? Go ahead, man. But here's the thing, is that this is basically an improved Tooth and Nail, like, in its function, where whatever you go to get, there's whispers right now that basically in standard, with this existing right alongside Craterhoof Behemoth, is you tutor out Craterhoof right away with it, and then you, because elves are also a thing, so they have tons of mana. And then you just tap the Craterhoof with its increased power and then go tutor out another Craterhoof with this Harmonize ability. So it's a crazy, crazy, crazy card in standard. It makes me scratch my head a little bit, since they already had with Invasion of Ikoria, like, straight to battlefield tutor. So this is very, very playable in CDH. If you are putting together two card combos via creature combos, and there aren't any Clarion Conquerors on the battlefield, Like, go ahead, do this thing. Preston and Felidar Guardian. Wah, wah, wee, wah. You can search them both, put them right on the battlefield. You want to do Fear of Missing Out and Kiki Jiki. Congratulations. You can now do it as long as you have enough mana to, well, basically, as long as you have enough green mana to do so, you can go ahead and use Nature's Rhythm. Gaia's Cradle is this card's best friend. It's, I do think that I will be testing this pretty thoroughly. Like, Invasion Ikoria is coming out. Nature's Rhythm is going in. Just to see what happens, it becomes a little bit easier to counter and interact with as well. It's something that a lot of people aren't talking about, but this gets Flusterstorm. This gets Swan Song. You know, it's like the battle aspect of Invasion was also another way to dodge certain, you know, pieces of removal. Now, like, non-creature counters didn't matter too much, but, you know, like, Nature's Rhythm, being a sorcery, does make it a little bit more vulnerable, but the upside here is, yeah, worth it. Absolutely. So that's it's kind of funny that the more I talk about it, the more I feel like it's on equal footing with something like Invasion of Ikoria because of the increased vulnerability of it being a sorcery. It also has the flexibility of, like, getting countered for your first one, and then, or you mill it to the graveyard via some sort of effect or discard it to some effect. You still have a pretty much unconditional creature tutor hanging out in the graveyard for you to use. So, like, Taeyom really likes this. Pretty much anything likes this, right? Anything in green wants this, because even if, like I said, if it gets countered, if it gets put in the graveyard in some sort of form or fashion, it's still available for you to use. That is why Nature's Rhythm, probably my most exciting, because I, like I said earlier, big green player, but this is probably, like, my most exciting card from the set. When I saw it, I was just like, what were they thinking? But after, like, thinking about, like, a lot, how much interaction is generally at the table, Nature's Rhythm does prompt, you know, does prompt immediate action. Like, you must respond to it. This does give maybe increased cause for Elf Ball decks, you know, with Alsor Shepherd being something that can protect this. Yeah. There's a lot of good things happening here, but there are also downsides. You have to know the vulnerabilities of a card in order to weigh out whether or not it fits your needs in your deck. So I get it. It's exciting. It's exciting. On the whole, for Tarkir Dragonstorm, I am pleasantly surprised at the overall, I can't say the set is super immersive. I think the reskinning, the brushstroke, like, borders, the dragon scale borders and stuff like that definitely take, like, the everything that they've done with Magic cards and sort of, like, break the immersion a little bit. But I will say, if you are just looking at the standard print Magic card, this is a very expressive set. There are, obviously, there's a dragon storm happening, so there's a lot of dragons, but the scenes and the world in which they're placed, does feel fitting. So out of all of our complaints over the last month to say, you know, like, sets are, you know, they're hat sets and they don't really hit the mark as well as they used to, I will say that this is attempting to hit the mark and succeeding in ways that Outlaws of Thunder Junction just could not, in ways that Murders at Karlov Manor just could not. Two of Magic's, like, historically, the worst sets that have ever been made. So the one thing that, you know, and I will still battle this, I don't think we need new keywords every set. I don't need Endure. I don't need Renew. I don't need Omens. You know, take what you've created, because you have a lot. You've created the world's most complex game. Take the things you've created already, like, and just expand on those in new and creative ways. Really just take the limitations, say to yourself and say, just look at yourself and say, I'm not going to create something new. I'm going to use what I have. It's like going grocery shopping, man. It's like you go through your cabinets at home and you're fully stocked. You have everything, but those things have been sitting in the cupboard for more than a week. You went grocery shopping last week, but you've looked at that food four times. You couldn't decide when the right time to use it was. And so you decide to go out, go grocery shopping and get something that's either or go out to eat. You go out and you get something that's like fresh and temporary, right? Based on, you know, but you have all this like great food in the cupboards. All you have to do is put in a little effort and just make it, right? But instead, you're going out to eat, man, because you deserve a hot, ready meal now. Something that's satisfying in the moment because your attention span is just a little too thin, or you don't want to put in the work. You had a rough day at work. You're tired. That's the way Wizards of the Coast feels right now. They are going out to eat a lot and not really cooking the food they had at home. I didn't think that reference was going to land. That landed, baby. That landed. All right. If you guys think we missed anything, if you would be so kind to leave a comment on the YouTube video or on your podcast platform of choice, that'd be awesome. If you'd like to support the show, you can also find us, or you can always, 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 always find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Help us get to that 500 mark. Help us get one step closer to that 1,000 subscriber mark. Help us, you know, like, yeah, it would, every step of the way is another step towards monetization, which means that we are definitely feeling more validated about what we're doing and can take steps forward and be more focused and engaged with this. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms, anything, all platforms of your choice, pretty much available everywhere. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Support the channel. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server, which, by the way, jump on the Discord server. Talk about Tarkir Dragonstorm a little bit. Get involved in those discussions. What's new? What's happening out there? If you didn't check out last week's episode, the Nye Guy Going Do Mentality, it's a long one. It's about 2 hours, but it was a lot of fun to record, and definitely saw some people hopping in there to talk about Naya. If you can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, like Maybe Anthony, KB, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. You guys are awesome. And right after this, we're doing the bi-weekly giveaway, which if you are a 2-liter tier supporter, you get 2 free entries. If you are a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, you get 1 free entry. And Revenlift, having access to the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, gets 3 entries into each of the bi-weekly giveaways. So yeah, looking forward to next week. We're gonna have Atlas on the show. He's currently top. I'm not sure what his ranking is. At one point, he was the number 3 player in the world in CEDH. He's coming on the show to express some concerns with CEDH. So we're very excited to have him. And Flash will be back next week as well to jump in on that interview. So yeah, super stoked. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting the Mockstars podcast, the number 1 podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. Almost forgot, Don Cheadle is awesome. Put some clothes on his back, support the show. All right, we're out of here. Peace. All right, if you've made it this far in the episode, you know what it is. It is the bi-weekly giveaway. So let's go ahead, get right into it. We're going to shuffle 1, 2, and 3 times. This week's prize is a foil Ozolith, the Shattered Spire, and a Magic Con Chicago exclusive deck box. It's got that froggy demon dude that is very meme-worthy on it for whatever reason. I can't remember the name, but also has a pack of sleeves in it with the same exact artwork. It's super rad. So let's go ahead and spin it up, see who wins. Oh, yeah. It's Ravenlift! Congratulations, Ravenlift. You have won yourself this sick deck box and a foil copy of Ozolith, the Shattered Spire. Congratulations. I will get that out to you as soon as possible. Thank you all for supporting the show. Thank you all for participating. And we can't wait for the next bi-weekly giveaway. So stay tuned to the Mock Stars podcast as we continue to chug Dr. Pepper and praise Don Cheadle. Thanks for listening. Peace.